I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Sunday morning, a little earlier than I was planning on going live. I was working on a show, which I was super excited about. We're going to cover a lot of that this show. But then you get the information, Tim Kawakami, again, one of those guys who definitely has his ear to the 49ers. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Comes out and says he feels like it's heading towards a deal with Joey Bosa and the 49ers, which just seems to make a lot of sense. 49ers need pass rush help big time. You know, you've got the mom Bosa out there talking about how she wants her boys to play together. It just makes too much sense. So we're going to break down a lot of Joey Bosa. That's going to be the forefront of the conversation. Now, other things that are happening. Myles Garrett just signed a mega deal, making him the highest non-quarterback paid in the NFL to stay in Cleveland. He caved, said it was about competing in the Super Bowl. Also a little bit about money. Not that I fault anybody for getting that much money, but whatever, you come out and say it's always been about Super Bowls and competing, 0% chance that that happens in Cleveland. Maybe a 2% chance, but it ain't going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years. But anyway, so Myles Garrett's off the board, which makes the Joey Bosa even more likely and more appealing. I want to talk about the Joey Bosa contract, what he should get, incentive-based, all that stuff, what those metrics are. And then I want to focus on NFC West. Got to talk Seahawks to that Geno trade, what the options are for them, why they're doing what they're doing. DK Metcalf, still the trade has been altered with the demands that are out there. We're going to talk through that. That's what we got on the show for today. Now, obviously, this is the 49ers Rush Podcast, episode number 1,354, and I want to focus on the 49ers more than anything. That's what we're trying to do here. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. You guys are great. And Josh, right off the bat, I dig it for the right price. Rotate him and Floyd, keeping them both fresh. Now, Joey Bosa alters your plans with Floyd a little bit. I believe that is the case. There's rumors out there Leonard Floyd is going to be a cap casualty, which makes sense. Definitely the second half of the season. Okay, let's break this down first, okay? Because I know a lot of people, whenever any type of criticism happens of Leonard Floyd, they're like, oh, he had 7.5 sacks. Like you can't say that. Was it 7.5? It might have been even more than that. I don't want to short him. But, you know, sacks are kind of, they've turned into kind of the demarcation line of if you're a good pass rusher, which I don't really buy into. Never really. 8.5 sacks. Did not want to take that away. 8.5 sacks is solid. Like, that's great. It's the lowest he's done in 5 years, but that's great. All that sack potential production, came after you cut Leonard Floyd snaps in half. Early on in the year, it was Bosa and Floyd playing 50%, you know, 50 plus snaps a game, almost every game. That ain't him. He's 32 years old last year. Leonard Floyd's going to be 33 this year. You cut back his snaps. You put Sam Okwuanu out there to take a lot of those snaps. Leonard Floyd's production went through the roof. Started getting pressure, started getting sacks, started being disruptive. And so, like, you figured out, like, oh, good job, Chris Kucerik. You got to rotate players. Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed? It took a long time to figure that out for him in the season till it was almost too late, but whatever. So Leonard Floyd's production is fine. But again, now if you could pair Leonard Floyd with another, Joey Bosa's not a top-tier talent anymore, but he sure as hell was, right? And so if you could pair him with that and rotate, now you're talking. Because Joey Bosa and Leonard Floyd, they're very similar. The only difference is Leonard Floyd plays all the time. Leonard Floyd has played 17 or 16 games every single year of his entire career. His entire career. Listen to Leonard Floyd's game played. 16, 16, 16, 17, 17, 17, 17. Dude's never missed a game. Like, that's awesome. So use that. Now you go to Joey Bosa. Little bit different story. Now, he's been in the league a little bit longer as well. Here's Joey Bosa's games played throughout his career. 12, 16, 7, 16. Only twice in his entire career has he played. Oh, no. Yeah, that's 2021 with 17. So anyway, back to start. Let me finish it, not mess it up. Back from the start. 2016, 12 games, 16, 7, 16, 12, 16, 5, 9, 14. Fell off a cliff there. Once he hit that 27-year season, hopefully brother Bosa doesn't do the same, it just fell off. 5-9-14. That's games played the last 3 years. So you pair these guys, and they're kind of equal sides of the opposite coin. I don't think that anything goes down. I would probably take Leonard Floyd base downs, Joey Bosa pass rush upside. He has that, no doubt about it. Both ridiculous production. You have Joey Bosa in 9 years has 72 sacks, whereas Leonard Floyd in 7 years has 87. So maybe that's not the case. But again, the longevity of Leonard Floyd's career has provided him with more opportunities. Leonard Floyd got paid a lot more money. Well, that makes sense because, again, man, actually, you know what's crazy? Joey Bosa is younger. Joey Bosa is going to be 30 this year. Leonard Floyd's going to be 33, even though he's been in the NFL longer. That's crazy to me. I would not have guessed that based on – I just wouldn't have guessed it. But anyway, I do like this. I like the rotation idea. You've got to have that rotation. And if you get Joey Bosa, it kind of alters the way in which that you – your entire draft strategy. Now, is Joey Bosa the long-term answer? No, you still have to infuse young depth at the defensive end position. You still need to draft that. But I do think if the 49ers had their choice, edge is definitely one of the top two, if not top three positions they want to address in the first round. Does Joey Bosa push you off that? Probably not, but it does make the other positions more likely. But remember, this is what the 49ers do every year in free agency. Every single year is they plug all of the major gaps in the roster before the draft. Always. So that they can have the luxury of going into the draft and trying to go with a quote-unquote best available player at a position of need or value position. So, like, they're still going O-line, D-line. Or maybe wide receiver if Kyle gets what he wants. But that's they want to plug these spots. They're going to sign a defensive tackle. They have to. We have the worst defensive tackle room in the NFL. You're going to sign a defensive tackle. You're going to sign an edge. Will you sign an offensive a tackle? Ooh, I don't know. I hope that they do. They have two that they like. You need three. We'll talk about Jalen Moore is the third most targeted. He's the third best free agent offensive tackle going into free agency now. Like, there ain't nothing out there. There ain't nothing out there. Aaron, right here, a little pushback. Injury-riddled team signs injury-riddled player. Double negative makes a positive. Well, you have to pay for what you're getting, right? So this is why I want to structure the Joey Bosa makes every single team better in the NFL. Like, he still has a lot to offer. Yeah, still can't believe he's only 29 years old. That's crazy to me. I guess he'll be 30 this season, but whatever. Joey Bosa on your team makes you a better team. Every single team wants Joey Bosa. The problem is, okay, if you look at the injuries, yep, that's a major concern. There's no doubt about it. I mean, this guy's missed like 23 games in three seasons. Well, you have to pay him for such. You have to pay him for such. So again, last year, he played just under 50% of snaps, which it's actually not terrible. Joey Bosa played, here we go, I got it right here, 503 snaps. Now, the Chargers had 1,168 defensive snaps, so just under 50%. So again, you're signing, now the Chargers were paying him as a top 10 edge rusher. That's not what the 49ers are going to pay him. That's not what it is. So you pay him for what he is. And with what you have, Leonard Floyd, rotational, 20, 25 snaps a game. If you're going to do that, like, again, I'm not a smart man. Let me bust out the calculator. Let's say you're going to sign Joey Bosa, and you're going to say, hey, we want you to play 20 snaps a game for 17 games. That's 340 snaps. That's less than what he did last year. That's a win. You play 20 snaps a game for 17 games for Joey Bosa. That's what you pay for. That's what you pay for. So if you pay for that, I'm going to say that could be a win. Doesn't mean it will be. But shoot, this dude played 503 snaps last year. That should not be the goal. It should not be the goal. Now you structure the contract to be that way, right? So based, this is just all my own John Chapman projection. I'm not great at this. But here's what I would do. I hope the contract is on a $7 to $9 million per year, million per year. Maybe you do a 2 year. I'd prefer a one, but most you do a two. I don't think you go past two.
They say money can't buy you happiness. That might be true, but money sure can make you feel a lot of other things. When did you decide to take care of your money and why? Me, as somebody that branched out, got away from the normal paying job and had to take care of my own business and started from the ground up. Money is stressful and it's been hard for me, but Acorns was a major part of the decision that made me be able to do the 49ers Rush podcast. Acorns is a financial wellness app that helps you take control of your money with simple tools that make it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. My favorite thing, you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, as little as $5. Even if all you have is spare change, you can get started. So if you're ready to take control of your money, sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers. Again, acorns.com/49ers, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
And I hope that it's not higher than that. The NFL average is about 1.5 to 1.75 million per sack production. That's usually what you get. You look at kind of what we did with Leonard Floyd, gets 10 million a year, right? Well, he got 8.5 sacks. Boom. That's right there. Sack production to quality of play. He maybe overperformed a little bit, but again, I don't like the sack production, but that's what happens in today's NFL. So now other things that I think go into this, if it's $7 to $9 million per year, man, he's already getting $11 million from the Chargers this year because he was released. So he's already getting paid. So you get a little bit of a discount there. He wants to play with his brother. Hopefully that is a little bit of a discount. Talk about the field. One of the most injury riddled players, Aaron, I'm with you, the last few years. Well, the 49ers have the best playing surface in the NFL. It's been voted on back-to-back years by players in the NFL. It's the best turf, you know, not artificial turf, but any type of turf. I think that would be huge. And so, like, there's a lot of positives for him playing there. Take advantage of those things. But make it major sack and play time incentives. That's how you win this deal, because the whole likely and not likely to be earned contract. So here's how this works. Here's what Joey Bosa did last year, right? You look at what he did last year. He had 5 sacks and played under 50% of snaps. So for the likely to be earned, so let's say you made his 5 sack. If he gets 5 sacks, then he hits his incentives. Well, then that will hit the cap this year. So let's say you do a $2 million incentive if you have 5 or more sacks. Well, because Joey Bosa had 5 sacks last year, that counts against the cap the year you sign him. Okay, so the 49ers signed Joey Bosa to a 1-year, $8 million deal with a $2 million sack incentive at 5. Because he did it last year, all of those bonuses, those are likely to be earned incentives, they have to count against the cap 2025. But if you make his sack incentive 6 sacks, which he did not do last year, that is now a non-likely to be earned. That means it doesn't count against the cap this year. It doesn't. So if you sign him to a 1-year, $9 million deal with an additional $2 million sack incentive of 6 sacks a year, then guess what? Only that $9 million would go off the cap this year. Now, again, I'm oversimplifying everything. That $2 million doesn't affect anything. Now, if he hits it, then it comes off the cap the following year, that $2 million. But if he hits that number, whatever that number is, you're spreading the cap out over 2 years. It makes it more financially feasible. Now, if you want to super complicate things, you say, look, you have to hit over 50% of snaps and you have to hit over 6 sacks. That spreads all that stuff out to the future. And if he hits it, great. You're happy for that because you got the production. And if he doesn't, you never have to pay it. Never comes off the books. That's what he did not earn in the contract. Does that make sense? So for those of you that are sitting here saying, man, the injuries, I just don't get it. I don't get it. You have to structure the contract in a way that you account for the injuries. And that is a positive for the 49ers. And if for some reason Joey Bosa does stay healthy because you're rotating him, you're not forcing him to be a 3-down player that plays, you know, 80% of snaps in a given game, that's stupid. I think it's stupid for almost everybody. But if you do that and he does play that, you're getting your money's worth and then some. You got more out of the contract than what you paid for. That's a positive. But again, you have to structure the contract in a way that makes it, we're covered. CYA, baby. Like, you got to cover it. And so the 49ers have been really, really bad at this. And they have put out, 49ers lead the NFL in dead cap spending. This year, you're still paying major money for Arik Armstead, Deebo Samuel, major money for Javon Hargrave. None of those guys are here. None of them are here. Like, you are paying players to play for other teams. Start to get smart. And you did that because you were trying to keep the band together and you had something great. And man, I'm not faulting that logic. But now it's time to pay the piper. And that dead cap, you lead the NFL in paying players to play for other teams. That is not a positive. I don't care who spends whatever. No team in the NFL wants to lead the NFL in dead cap spending. That is paying players against your salary cap to play for other teams. That's a bad practice. This is one of the opportunities where I think that you can make it work in a way that helps you and Bosa can get his. So $7 to $9 million per year with a bunch of incentives. But all those incentives need to be non-likely to be earned. With the year he had last year, that should be relatively easy. Again, he started 9 games, played in 14. Under 50% of snaps. 5 sacks. He had 5 tackle for losses. That's probably one of the biggest differences. I think Joey Bosa early on was a huge run defender stud, like his brother. Hasn't been that as much. He really, really hasn't. More of a pass rusher who can be against the run. He can set the edge. And if we sign him, I'll do a film breakdown over the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon for sure, for sure. But like, he's not, everybody wants to say like him and Nick Bosa. Yeah. Get used to mixing up Joey and Nick even more so. But I really don't think that he is the 3 down all purpose run stuffer. He can do that. But I'm just saying, I want him as a pass rusher only. I really, really, really do. And yeah, the implications of this across the NFL, talking about the Myles Garrett deal, you know, you're talking about Max Crosby deal. Now the Ja'Marr Chase deal is going to be even higher. Now the, you know, Micah Parsons deal is going to be even higher. Trey Hendrickson going to be even higher. Like Nick Bosa just, 3 episodes ago, you remember I said like Nick Bosa is still the highest paid defensive end. That's not going to last very long. And then 5 minutes later, the Crosby deal happened. Now Garrett's happened. Like Bosa's going to be like, Nick Bosa's going to be like the 5th highest paid defensive end when the season starts. And so, yeah, that contract was huge and probably not to the Niners' liking. But, the NFL, that money's being thrown around, no doubt about it. Now you've got Myles Garrett getting $40 million per year. Bosa's getting 34. I think that's about right. Now, and this is the way the NFL, when the first contract comes out, everybody's like, oh my gosh. Then you wait a year or two and it's like, oh, all right. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Bosa's appropriately paid for where he slots in the defensive pecking order by the time this year starts. I believe that. 49er faithful. John, I would love to see us grab a tackle at 11. Move up into the mid-20s, grab defensive tackle Grant. Wonder if that's possible. It is possible. I'm with you. You know, if you missed the last episode, me and Brian Peacock, we went through a draft. We did a mock draft where we took an offensive tackle first. Then we did a mock draft where we took a defensive tackle first. Both of them were awesome. Both of them were awesome. But yeah, there are no offensive tackles. Like, you can sign defensive tackles, and the draft class is super deep. There's not a lot of offensive tackles go around. I mean, the fact that Jalen Moore is like the 3rd most sought after offensive tackle in this free agency class should tell you something. Let me tell you something. Right here. Would you rather cut Yetur Gross-Matos or Floyd? I'd rather cut Yetur Gross-Matos. I like the flashes that he's shown. But again, we're going to transition to the Yetur Gross-Matos. That dude cost us our season on that drive against Seattle. He had no gas, trying to get off the field. Chris Kucerik won't sub him out for whatever reason, and he just watches Geno Smith run past him. I'm never going to get over that. I hate the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to talk about Geno here in a second. Do I think the upside is higher with the Yetur Gross-Matos? Sure. I wouldn't cut either one of them. Again, I'm tired of paying players to play for other teams. Like, yeah, Yetur was banged up and whatever else, but I'm not cutting either one of them. I think that's a bad habit, and you're setting a bad precedent, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so if you cut Floyd or Yetur and then you sign Joey Bosa, like, it's so nearsighted. I'm not cutting either one of them. You need more depth. You do not have depth. And again, you're talking about all besides Leonard Floyd, who always plays every single game. Richard Gross Matos misses games. Joey Bosa misses games. You've already paid that out. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Right here. Anonym. What's a reasonable deal for Jonathan Allen? What figure would you put out there to make him happy if we sign him? Any figure, to be honest with you. And again, I put this out and I said, like, stop. Like, the idea of trading for players in this whatever is, I don't want to do it. Unless it was Myles Garrett, I didn't want to trade for Hendrickson. He's older and you got to pay him. I don't want to trade for really anybody. Everybody's getting cut. You can just sign these guys like Joey Bosa, right? Like, you don't have to trade draft capital. That builds your youth and depth up. Niners have 11 picks looking like. Use those damn picks on youth and depth. Plug your holes with free agency. And so, yeah, Jonathan Allen, I would be happy. Like, $10 million a year, I have no problem with that. He'll probably get a little bit more than that. But whenever you get these players that are huge salary cap cuts, that's huge. I wonder, let me look just briefly on what he is getting paid. Jonathan Allen, just because I want to provide some context to this, right? Like, yeah, I mean, that dude, he got a $6 million cap charge, but like he's already been paid out $14.9 million for 2024, right? So in 2025, he's already kind of been paid about $6 million this year. Does that affect it? Sometimes you see that with like Russell Wilson, whenever the Denver, like he goes and signs for $1 million. Not everybody does that because one, he's $100 millionaire, but like Jonathan Allen's got $76.5 million career earned. Joey Bosa has $142 million career earned, and they're still getting paid by the teams that cut them. So you can, if you're wanting to do a 1 year kind of finagle, you can figure that out. You can make that happen. And so, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what Jonathan Allen's deal would be. Let's see here. Let me just look up real quick kind of about where other defensive tackles, again, you look at what he was getting paid. It's not like it was a bad contract. He just did it, you know, kind of fulfill that. Two-time Pro Bowler. He's got 42 sacks in 8 seasons. He's 30 years old. Yeah, I think $10 to $12 million kind of makes sense for a 1 year deal. And again, you can make it incentive laden. You do the same thing. So if we go look at what Jonathan Allen did last year, this is the whole salary cap likely to be earned. He was injured last year. He played in 8 games and he had 3 sacks. Sign him to a deal. Hey, if you get over 4 sacks, over 5 sacks, and you play in 10 games, you get to hit these incentives. We're getting our money's worth. I think that's just the way you handle these coming off injury, 1 year prove it deals. I think that's how you do it. Right here, Josh, it will give a little extra juice to both Bosa brothers playing together. 100%. They train together. Like, you know, Nick Bosa always talks about, like, oh, why aren't you here in the offseason? He's like, I trained with my brother. One of my favorite Bosa quotes ever, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, was, oh, how are OTAs and how's training camp? He's like, it's actually a break. He's like, I train a lot harder at home. So whenever you come here for training camp, it's actually a lot easier working out. So the fact that those two guys are together, you've got another weight room workout warrior that could push everything, that's a seasoned vet, leadership, all that stuff. That's huge. That's huge. So I think that well said, Monkey Boy. I know pass rush is what comes to mind with Joey, but how is he against the run? Hopefully he's not. Again, I mentioned this briefly just a little bit earlier. He's a good run defender, but you look at kind of what he's done. So he's on a 3-year downfall, right? So in 2022, he had a 74.2 grade against the run. 2023, a 70.7 against the run, then a 67.4 this last year. So 3 continuous years in a downward trend. 67.4 is good, by the way. Just to put that into perspective, I'm going to go over to the Niners defense. 67.4, I believe, is what I said. You guys got to hold me accountable for that. Let's see here. Run defense. I'm filtering the Niners players. That would be the 11th. Yeah, the 11th best player against the run for the 49ers last year. Malik Mustafa at a 66.3, right? You know, Hufanga 74.5. You can go on. Now, Nick Bosa had a 79.9, one of the better players. Dre Greenlaw and Nick McLeod, Fred Warner, those are your top three. Nick Bosa was fourth. So he's good against the run, but you're signing him as a pass rusher. You're signing him as a pass rusher. That's what you want. Yeah, so that's kind of where that is with all the Joey Bosa. And I want it to happen. I don't want to overpay. I don't want to overpay. Right here, Atomic. Do we still have Drake on defense? We do. I don't know if he ever plays again after that patella tendon tear. Anything you get from Drake Jackson is gravy. You are counting that as a complete loss, which is very, very frustrating. I don't like that. I don't like that. Daniel, he says, hey, John, how do you like Jordan Birch from Oregon? I love Jordan Birch. I mean, just size, energy, level, similar to Armstead in terms of body type. Yeah, similar, not as big, but still a freak. The Oregon makes it easy. Like you see it in the uniforms and all that stuff. Yes. What's up, Sin? Appreciate you. What great play did Nick make last year? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Nick Bosa made a lot of very, very good plays. It just, could he stay healthy? That's kind of an issue. But, yeah, Nick Bosa, yeah, a lot of fire, Nick Bosa. That's okay. You can have your thing. Oh, right here, David. Appreciate you, brother. Says, we need Joey for 20 games. If you do the 20 snap count formula, that works. And I wish we would do this with our seasoned vets. And we saw it with Eric Armstead. Like, that was, man, I love Eric Armstead. And we missed him last year. But he went from playing 45 to 50 snaps a game with us. And it worked until it didn't. Then he goes to Jacksonville. They play him 20, 25 snaps a game the whole year. He plays 17 games. We kill our guys, Chris Kucerik. We kill them. We kill our guys, Chris Kucerik. Stop it. Especially if the 30-plus, like, guys should not play 50-plus snaps a game on the defensive line when you're 30 years old. Ever. Ever. Don't do it. It's not smart. It's not beneficial. Now, you didn't have depth, and yeah, that's a whole nother issue for why, but man, shoot, you had Evan Anderson out there, and he, dude, was only getting 17 snaps a game. Like, he could play. He could play. Like, you have guys, you got to trust the rotation instead of just killing these guys. Luke Walsh. Joey is nice, but center Drew Dahlman is my favorite free agent crush because if it gives us draft flexibility, I would love that as well, Luke. But I will tell you, center and offensive tackle are the biggest voids in the NFL. Every single team wants Drew Dahlman or Ryan Kelly. Every single one of them does. And you're going to have 10 guys, 10 teams fighting for Drew Dahlman. He's going to get paid. And I see people throwing around like 10 to 12 million. Nuh-uh-uh. No. That dude's getting 15 million plus. Easy. I believe that. Why? Because there's just not enough quality centers in the NFL. There's not enough quality offensive tackles in the NFL. You just saw Ronnie Stanley get paid ridiculous money, 20 million to plus. Is he a $20 million a year player? I don't know. He's a pass rush protector. He's very, very good at that. I would love Drew Dahlman. I hate to be the guy that's like, dude, that kid's getting paid. I hope it's with us. I really, really do. But don't be shocked if it's not there. Right here. Isn't Joey's contract out of guarantees? Yeah, but the signing bonus and the stuff, like, he's still... Money allocates to that. Cap space allocates to that. Yes, he already got the money, but $6 million. I think it was $6 million off the top of my head. I could be wrong on that number now. Might have been more. No, it's $11 million. But yeah, that's, you know, signing bonus and all that, restructures and all that stuff. So yeah, does he already have the money in the account? Correct. And again, this is kind of the semantics of contract talk that is always different because you have base pay, signing bonus pay, you know, guarantees, total guarantees, workout bonuses. It goes on and on and on. He does count $11 million against the cap for the Chargers that is attributed to this year. So take that for what you want. Yeah, right here, yo, Stricken, I'm with you. If it is a good financial deal, then it's a good deal. And so you come out and that deal's $16 million a year for Joey Bosa. Yeah, that's a huge miss. That's a huge miss. I don't like that. Tony, NFL offseason just got real. That's right, baby. We are cooking over here. I love it. Captain, side Joey already on IR. You got to manage him. You got to manage him. You got to manage him. Tony, I want to flip this a little bit. He says, Joey for first and second down, run defense is 70 compared to Lloyd's floor. Yeah, I don't mind. Here's how I would do it. I would do, look, you're rotating series. You guys are the same player. First series, Floyd. Second series, Joey. And vice versa. Like, we're just rotating. And that's just what we're going to do. I'm going to put Sam Okwuanu, or whoever you draft. You're going to spell Nick Bosa whenever he needs a chance. And really, I like Sam O. Him versus the run is great. But, Tony, I think this is well said. Like, I just want, look, you go play three downs, and we're getting you out. That's it. Go play three downs, five tops. You know, if they get a first down, whatever else, and you're out. You're not going to play more than five snaps on a given drive until you get a break. And we're just freaking, man, let's platoon this. Let's get back to the true Bravo group, right? Where you have your starters, and then you got your Bravo group. And your Bravo or your Alpha, like your starters, they rotate every single possession with Leonard Floyd or Joey Bosa. I don't give a damn who goes first, who's the starter is. I don't care. Don't care. But there's a smart way to do this. And the 49ers have not been smart about how they have platooned or rationed or rotated their defensive line. They have run them into the ground. Run them into the ground. I love Chris Kucerich. And I'm very thankful he's our guy. I love being at training camp and watching that dude practice. He cares so damn much. But you got to rotate your guys on the defensive line. Have to. Nick, what's up, man? Hopefully this change in the structure will change and sign more cover your CYA deals. Yeah, I would like that. I would like that very, very, very much. Right here, we could use some kind of D Ford. Yeah, Joey Bosa ain't that. Leonard Floyd ain't that. There are a lot of those types of guys in this draft, though, that you can get. Mark, looks like we're getting a bunch of B-list free agents, hoping we hit on the draft. I think that's the best way to build. I really, really do. I do not mind B-list free agents. I don't like A-list paying top dollar. Javon Hargrave. I hate it. I hate it. I didn't like the deal. I thought we paid out the wazoo for a 30-plus-year-old player. It never worked out. And we're going to be paying for that deal for a while. But it's what it is. Plug your holes in free agency so that you have no immediate needs that are just so dire that you have to draft that position in the first round. Then address it in the draft. You got 11 picks. I think that this is the formula. I really, really do. And if you can go get somebody that's a home run guaranteed in their 20s, if you consider Drew Dahlman to be that, I would pay for a center. I have no problem with that. I think Drew Dahlman is an A-plus signing. But if you got to go get Ryan Kelly for a cheaper deal because he's older, dude, I ain't mad about that either. I am not mad about that at all. Right here, Mark, yeah, Floyd has lived up to his contract so far. It took until the second half of the season. But the narrative was kind of already out of them on him after the first half of the season. They cut his snaps. Leonard Floyd began to show what Leonard Floyd can do. And I think that's big. Right here, Rusty. Jet already showing tightening purse strings. Dahlman won't be possible. I just don't see it as likely. I think that's going to be a bidding war with literally five-plus teams involved. That dude's – you remember Robert – I think it was Robert Hunt last year. It was so funny. I hate that. You know, Hard Knocks offseason edition's gone now because Joe Schoen was, you know, the Giants who are idiots. I don't know how that dude's still employed. But he's like, yeah, oh, Robert Hunt. I think we can get him for 10 to 12 million. I think that's like, we can get him. He signed for $20 million a year. Like, this is an NFL GM in an NFL office that was off by a ridiculous amount, like 10 to 12 million a year. He signed for freaking 20. Like, it was so off. It's going to be like that for Drew Dahlman. There's just no young centers that hit free agency. The Falcons, though, with that Kirk Cousins deal, they fortified their quarterback position, but at what cost? What did it cost? Everything. It's costing a lot. Yeah. So you got to take right here. NY Niners bid. Yes. Alpha unit. Those are your starters. Bravo backups. Turbo or the NASCAR package is what we've called it in the past. Yeah. You got three units and then you rotate in and out. Yes. 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 I think that's where it should be. I didn't even know who Javon Hargrave was until the 49ers gave him a $98 million contract. Bobo, I knew who Javon was. He was a damn good player, and he is a good player, just not for that money at this age and not in our system. Dude can't anchor versus the run. It's crazy. Eagles don't do what we do. It was different. Anyway, I'm going to digress. Now, that's our Joey Bosa contract talk. I hope that it happens. The second half of this show is what I spent the majority of my time preparing for, and I'm super excited about this. We're going to talk kind of quarterbacks, NFC West outlook, what is on deck for the Seattle Seahawks, how they're going to address this position, and what the NFC West shapes out as. Now, if you are a betting person, you want to bet NFL draft, who's going to go first overall, what team's going to be drafted by which player, there's only one place you should go. If you're serious about sports betting, you need a sports book that actually works for you, and that's why I use MyBookie. I've been working with them for over 5 years now. And MyBookie, you're in control. Better odds, better wins, less hassle than other guys, with the biggest selection of player bets and prop bets. Early cash out options, live betting lets you jump in at any time. So if you miss it before tip-off or game time starts, guess what? You get to play your way. Whether you're locking in picks pregame, riding the action live, MyBookie makes sure you always have access to the action. It's not just sports. MyBookie hosts the party that never ends with full-fledged casino. They've got everything from blackjack, roulette, video poker, slots, you name it. So if you're new to MyBookie, sign up now with promo code 49ERS or use this QR code next to me. Get a deposit bonus up to $2,000. Remember, gambling's a marathon, not a sprint, and it's all about building up your funds over time. Don't settle for second-rate book. Bet smarter, win bigger, only at MyBookie. All right, let's talk some Geno Smith and kind of this trade. I would have did the show yesterday, but I took the day off, took the wife to the beach, went down to Pacifica, had a good time. It was nice, wonderful, enjoyable time. And so, sorry about that. I don't take many days off, but whatever I do, it's usually going to be for the beach. But anyway, let's talk about this trade. The Seahawks trade Geno Smith to the Raiders for pick number 92 overall, late third rounder. Geno's a good quarterback. Is he a top 15 quarterback? No. Is he young? No, he's 34 years old, but he's a good quarterback. The Seahawks doing this trade with no quarterback really envision as stepping in. Now, it does seem like Diane Rossini, and I trust her probably more than any other NFL beat reporter, coverage insider, whatever you want to call them. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. It was definitely a sell low. Now, the rumors are they offered him like $35 million, 30 to 35. He said no. They traded him. And that Sam Darnold is likely going to be the quarterback there. So that's what I want to talk about and kind of go into figuring this out. Because it's definitely a sell low. And there's no guarantee. We talk about tackles being shallow. One of the worst positions in the NFL is right tackle. Center. Not that many quality centers in the NFL. Quarterback teams are starved. They're starved. You've got about 8 to 9 teams that need a quarterback, and there ain't much to go around. Free agency, you could talk about Sam Darnold. You want to throw Aaron Rodgers in there? He's definitely not a part of any long-term plans. Kirk Cousins, not long-term plans, and he's got to be released or traded. Like, there's just not much out there. Sam Darnold is kind of the bell of the ball. Then you look at the draft. You got Cam Ward. You like Shedeur Sanders, and you're sold on accuracy and toughness without a live arm, without a lot. You know, I mean, he's tough as hell. He's accurate. But, like, let's just be honest. Not how you build a quarterback. But whatever. Jackson Dart. There's just not enough quarterbacks going around. There's not. And so to trade Geno Smith for a late third, I thought was a bad move. Even if they signed Sam Darnold, and again, now you go into even more things with Seattle Seahawks. They cut so many starters, 4 starters gone from last year already, and they're trading DK Metcalf. Now, they wanted a first and a third round. That was never going to happen. Now it's down to a second and a day 3 pick, we'll see. I do think that you'll be able to trade DK Metcalf because the contract is so much friendlier than what Debo's was. And he is a true X. Like, he could run go routes, and the speed and the NFL body that he has is different. He is a wide receiver. So I do think that they'll eventually get something. I said, whenever they first put him out there, I said he'd probably get a third and a future fifth. We'll see. Might get a little bit more than that. But that's kind of where he is. Now, and right here, I think that this is huge. Jesse Sanchez, appreciate the super chat. Any players that might make us move into the top 10? We're talking these quarterbacks. The only player that the 49ers should trade up for, in my opinion, would be Mason Graham. Abdul Carter's not even a possibility. He'll be top three. But if for some reason Abdul Carter fell, yes, him. But Mason Graham would be the only player, I've said this and I'm going to be consistent with this, I believe, that I would trade up for. The only ones. And this draft is not filled with blue chip pedigree players at premium positions. Yeah, Ashton Jeanty's amazing. I'm not trading up for a running back. Yeah, Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland are awesome. I'm not trading up for a tight end. Jihad Campbell is amazing. He's a top 10 player for me. I'm not trading up for an off-ball linebacker when I have Fred Warner, who's 29. I'm not doing that. So the only player at a premium position, at a position of need, is Mason Graham for me. That's the only player I'd be willing to trade up for. Now the question, Jesse, and I love what you're bringing up here, is if we're talking about how there are so few quarterbacks in the NFL, there's at least 8 teams that are dying for a quarterback. There ain't 8 quarterbacks go around. The NFL draft, one of my truest axioms that I think is holds up rather well, quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and edge rushers always get pushed up. Always. Cam Ward's going top 3 guaranteed. Shedeur Sanders, maybe he falls. I doubt it. But then you got Jaxson Dart. Is Jaxson Dart a first-round quarterback? No. I don't have a first-round grade on Shedeur Sanders. I think he's a second-round quarterback. Doesn't mean he's not going to be great. Doesn't mean he's not a perfect fit in certain schemes. Doesn't mean he's not going to go top 10. Again, quarterbacks always get pushed up. But if Shedeur falls, or a team has to jump up for that third quarterback, Jaxson Dart, we saw it last year, right? How many quarterbacks went top 12? 6. This year, I think 2. But maybe 3. And so what team would die to trade up to try to get Jaxson Dart at 11? So if you look at the teams behind us, okay, Dallas right behind us, they're not moving for a quarterback. Miami right behind us, not looking for a quarterback. Indianapolis, that team is definitely looking for a quarterback. Anthony Richardson ain't it. Athleticism is great. You don't take yourself out of the game in a goal line situation on third down because you're tired. I'm sorry. Anthony Richardson, that experiment is over in my personal opinion. But would Indianapolis straight up? No. Atlanta, 15? No. Arizona, no. Cincinnati, 17? No. Now, 18, Seattle. I don't have a problem trading draft trades with division opponents. I do not. Especially if they want to trade up for Jaxson Dart or Shedeur Sanders. I would not mind that at all. Is it likely? No. If Seattle signs Sam Darnold, I think that takes them out of the quarterback market in the first round. Sam Darnold's 28 years old. I think they're going to have to sign him for 2 to 3 years, and they're going to pay him top-tier money. So I don't think that the Seattle Seahawks would sign Sam Darnold, which seems likely, and draft a quarterback in the first round. Maybe if you do get Sam Darnold, you go with, like, Quinn Ewers in the third round or fourth round or Tyler Shug or, you know, I don't know. Throw out whoever. Will Howard. Again, John Snyder's still the general manager there. It's not like he hasn't done that in the past. Remember whenever he paid Matt, when it was, what was that guy's? It was Matt something. They paid him all that money and then drafted Russell Wilson in the third and cut. God, what? It wasn't Matt Schaub. Y'all got to help me out in the chat. Y'all help me out. Who was that? I see the face and I can see the jersey and I see the outline. I just can't see the last name. But anyway, John Schneider is still the general manager there. He's Matt Flynn. Oh, Eric, you're the man. Kevin, thank you. Yeah, Matt Flynn, you guys are incredible. Thank you. It's so funny because if I'm like out drinking with my buddies or my coaching buddies and we have these talks, like I'm just like, bam, 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 bam. You turn on the light, get behind the mic. I don't know why, but like it just stops certain parts of the hamster wheel where the gerbil runs. I don't know why. It just stops, but it's what it is. So Okay. Other teams that would be willing to 19 Tampa Bay, no. 20 Denver, no. 21 Pittsburgh. At some point, they got to get something. You know, maybe they bring back Justin Fields. Ah, does that mean they don't want another quarterback? They had Justin Fields last year, and they're fine letting him walk, but they're getting stuck without anything. So, like, man, there's just some issues there for sure. The Rams, you know, you got a two-year deal with Stafford. We'll see. There are just teams that need quarterbacks. Cleveland at 33. Giants at 34. If those guys don't get quarterbacks early in the first round, Tennessee at 35. That's three teams that need a quarterback that aren't going to all get one. They're not all going to get one. Should the 49ers trade from 11 to, you know, 33? Nah, I wouldn't be against it if the package was whatever. I'm just saying that there are options. Is it likely? Probably not. Probably not. But if the 49ers can find somebody that want to jump up for a quarterback, I don't give a damn if it's in the division or not. I am allowing a team to do that if they're going to pay a premium. Period. Period, period, period. I don't care. And would I trade up for anybody? Yeah, I'd trade up for one guy. Mason Graham. That's it. So, back to the whole Sam Darnold, Geno, Seahawks thing. Did they upgrade? If they land Sam Darnold, is that an upgrade over Geno Smith? I'm not so sure. Sam Darnold has a much higher ceiling, more athletic, better body, stronger arm, more potential. Yes, for sure. Coming off the year, he did. But does he have a lower floor than Geno? 100%. What is Sam Darnold going to look like without Kevin O'Connell, who I think is a top three play caller in the NFL? Kevin O'Connell single-handedly exposed in week two Nick Sorensen for what he was, which was a complete fraud and had no business being a defensive coordinator ever in the NFL. And every other team that bunched that, oh man, I was at the stadium, Bank of America Stadium, is it called Bank of America Stadium? Whatever, U.S. Bank Stadium, the Vikings, my favorite stadium in the NFL. I'll never miss a game where the 49ers playing the Vikings. Yeah, I love it there. But anyway, that third down, 49ers show, man coverage, and he does this double motion into a bunch of trips and just torched us all game on third downs nonstop. Every team in the NFL copy and pasted that after that, and Nick Sorensen never caught up to it. Not once. Never figured it out. How do you run man against bunch of trips? It's pretty damn easy. Nick Sorensen couldn't do it. Anyway, Kevin O'Connell's a beast. I definitely deserve Coach of the Year. I was telling you guys halfway through the season, he's going to be Coach of the Year. He was. How's Sam Darnold going to be without that? Clint Kubiak ain't that. I like the scheme, and I like Clint Kubiak. He is not a top five, top 10 play caller. He is not. He is not that. I don't. He ain't it. So Sam Darnold's losing this elite play caller. You're losing Justin Jefferson, who I think is the best wide receiver in the NFL. Now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, stud, he ain't JJ. He ain't even close to that. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a stud. My favorite thing was D'Amador Lenore doing the impression on his IG Live or whatever it was. I usually don't watch those things, but I thought it was hilarious. He's like, oh, he's holding, and just complaining and whining all the time. Like, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, stud. But no Tyler Lockett. You're trading DK. Jaxon Smith-Njigba plus what? Go back to what Sam Darnold had with the Vikings. Good gosh. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones. You ain't got any of that in Seattle. And I think the biggest issue isn't even Justin Jefferson. Vikings had a top 10 guaranteed line. You want to put them top five, they'd be around that five area. Warren Sharp, in his analysis, he had the Vikings ranked eighth offensive line last year. Seattle Seahawks 29th. It's not getting better. It's not getting better. So, like, have we ever had an experience in the past, ladies and gentlemen, my NFL football prowess, help me out here. Have we ever seen Sam Darnold play behind a bad offensive line? Yeah. How's that looked? Not once, not twice. Sam Darnold ain't that guy. Now, has he improved? Yeah, the year with the 49ers didn't look that great with us, to be honest with you, but we have a bad offensive line. I don't. It's a gamble, And I think it's smart for Seattle to say, look, we're not going to pay you this much, and we're not trading for Sam Darnold, so why don't we just give this money to Sam Darnold to find out? I get that, and I think that that is smart. So I'm not just trying to be a 49ers homer here and bash the Seattle Seahawks, who I hate with a passion. I'm a fan. I'm not whatever. But look, Sam Darnold has a higher floor and a higher a lower floor and a higher ceiling. Geno Smith was great for what Seattle put in front of him, and he did his job consistently. Was he great? No, but they won 10 games last year. Are you going to get that same type of production with Sam Darnold? And that's without those weapons. Even Geno Smith without DK Metcalf and the fainting goat, Tyler Lockett, he was going to take a step back this year. So I'm not upset for Sam Darnold to be in our division. Could he still be what he was for the Vikings? Man, he was awesome for the Vikings till he wasn't, right? Till he wasn't. It takes a while to kind of show that. You ain't got KOC. You ain't got Justin Jefferson. You ain't got that offensive line. I'm just saying. Now, you're going to have to pay that man. You are going to have to pay that man, period. That's all it is. And again, shout out to Diane Russini, who she's the one that said, it's probably going to be this. So what's that going to look like? I think it's going to be like a three-year, $110 million contract for Sam Darnold, because you have to outbid the Vikings and all these other teams. Now, I ain't going back to the Jets, that's for sure. Probably not going back to the Giants, because you don't want to go back to that New York market. But there's still other teams that need quarterbacks. Could go to Pittsburgh, whatever else. This is, seems to be the team that is willing to pay him, and you're going to have to pay him. 3 years, 110, or 4 years, 148. It comes out to about $37 million guaranteed, or per year, not guaranteed. That's what I think he's going to get. That's my projection, right? And it's just like, oh, man. Like, that's a lot of money for a quarterback. And I get not wanting to give it to a 34-year-old Geno. Give it to a 28-year-old Darnold, and let's see. I think it's a smart decision for Seattle. As a 49ers perspective, I like it. I do like it. I really, really do. I hope Sam Darnold goes there. And I hope they pay him for a long time. And if they don't address that offensive line, and now they have offensive line issues and wide receiver issues. Yeah, Jake Bobo and Jaxon Smith-Njigba is your guys. Sorry. It's just no. And I do really, really enjoy going up to Seattle, especially when it's not cold or rainy or snowy. I lived there whenever I was a little kid, actually, for a couple years. Jason, Seattle is awesome. I worked on fishing boats for years. Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just gorgeous. I love going up there. It's one of my, it's a top five stadium for me. U.S. Bank Stadium, the Vikings is number one. I've been to 22 stadiums so far. I got to get to 32, but they keep building new ones, making it hard on me. But U.S. Bank's number one for me. Seattle's top five because it's loud as hell. I love talking trash to Seattle fans. I feel like it's like the perfect trash talk because we don't like each other, but they're not mean. They're not East Coasters. And so there's fun banter. I think the last three games I've been to in Seattle, I have purchased multiple beverages, adult beverages for Seattle fans because we're just having such a great time back and forth. You know, and we've won every time we've been there, obviously, but that's recent. That's recent. So I do think that the NFL landscape, the NFC West landscape, it's got, I think it's more pro 49ers now. It was a down year last year. I think it was the worst division in sports, but in NFL, but it's gotten worse. Now, I want to continue to talk about Diane Russini because she came out in her show Scoop City with Chase Daniels, which again, I'm not into the whole insider whatever else, but if I had to pick one episode or one podcast to listen, they don't know who I am, but I would listen to that one because she knows what she's talking about. And she nailed the Trent contract. She nailed the Ayuk contract a month before it happened. She was on par with everything. And whenever they asked, you know, Ayuk after he signed the deal, hey, is it true this? And they basically read Diane Russini's report. He goes, yeah, it was. Like, I made it harder than, like, he made himself look bad, but validated what Diane said. The Bosa deal, nailed the Debo trade and how Jonathan Allen was tied. She's not 100%. Nobody is. But if there's anybody that talks about 49ers that I listen to on the national circuit, she's number one. Well, she came out and she said, There was no truth to the 49ers offering Brock Purdy a $45 million contract. That was categorically false. It did not happen. And that she would bet. She looks around. She's like, what's the most valuable thing I have close to me? My phone, whatever. I don't care. I bet whatever it is that was not true. Now, I am not an insider. I cannot stress that enough. But whenever Patreon subscribers and my 49ers Rush people reach out and ask me questions. And again, if y'all want to know, this is my full-time job. This is all I do is break down film, go to 49ers games, plan parties, and get 49ers together. By the way, update. I think we got our draft venue for the 49ers party in San Francisco locked down. Can't let the details out now, but teasing you, we will be hosting a 49ers party in San Francisco at a badass venue, by the way. Downtown San Francisco, close to the North Beach area. Days one and day two, where it's going to be incredible. And so anyway, stay tuned for that. It's going to be like $20 to get in. It's going to be great. Giveaways, kid-friendly, big screens, you name it, live broadcasting. Oh, it's going to be freaking awesome. Days one and day two, so stay tuned. That's huge. But the way I feed my family is the 49ersrush.com, members there, and on our Patreon. And so whenever I get like DMs and people mention me and tag me and like, hey, what do you think of this? I stay out of those. And usually my carbon copy thing is I'm not an insider. Don't want to be an insider. I don't like dealing with conjecture. I want to deal with things I know, which is football tape. That's why we do all those breakdowns and talking football. That's what I want to do. I don't want to talk player social media and all that stuff. I try to stay out of that. But if a paid subscriber asks me, I'm going to spend my time and I'm going to talk to them. And we're going to go over that. And so here is one of my messages to one of our supporters. This was Tuesday. It's even like dated on there. The question was asked, do you believe the report 49ers offered Brock Purdy $45 million a year? Here's what I said. I would if it wasn't for the source. He's almost wrong on everything. It has no 49er sources. I'm not an insider. I'm not going to be. But whenever you see somebody post and they've missed on their last 50 things that they've projected, and I understand clickbait media today, it's what it's going to be. And people are going to run with anything regardless of the trash can that it comes out of. I understand that. It's just social media. That's why I stay away from that stuff. I didn't talk about the $45 million deal. I didn't talk about that. It was asked. Other people I was recording asked me about it. I'm staying the hell away from that stuff. Pay attention to the source. That's my advice. That's why I'm saying this. Was Brock Purdy offered $45 million? Was he offered anything? I don't know the answer to that. But I know whenever that guy comes out and says, yeah, this happened with the 49ers. Nope. Track record matters. It does. And the people that you feed matters. And anyway, take that for whatever it is you want. I'm telling you right now, Brock Purdy is going to be the 49ers quarterback. Now, the way they go about that, yes, the contract, they control him for 3 years, no matter what, with, you know, this year, 2025, and then two franchise tags. It's going to be a pain in the butt, and I hate it. I wish we could be past all this stupid contract negotiations. And, yeah, what is the 49ers' MO? They will follow the player's protocol. They mirror exactly what happens. You go to Kittle, you can go to Warner, you can go to Bosa. The other side of that is Ayuk and Debo. Ayuk and Debo, they went public with everything. They made fake videos about everything. They made dramatic trade requests and all the whatever. So what do the 49ers do? They leak and squeak back. You did not hear jack squat about Bosa at all until it was done. Why? Because Bosa said, I'm not going to be answering questions about that. John Lynch got up there and said, we're going to honor that. We're going to keep that behind closed doors. That's exactly what's happening with Purdy now. So again, allow the track record to speak for itself. Allow it. If Brock Purdy comes out demanding trade requests and making fake videos with different people and all that shenanigans, yeah, expect some leaks to come out from the 49ers side. But if not, don't. Why? Because it didn't with Kittle. It didn't with Warner. It didn't with Trent. It didn't with Bosa. It just didn't happen. So why would the 49ers break character and go with somebody that they've never ever gone to for a source at CBS? What? Come on, man. There's nothing wrong with CBS, but like, come on. Now, the agents can, but why would Brock Purdy's agent do that? Why? Why would they do that? Is that Brock Purdy's nature? Is that his agent's nature? I don't believe so. So, anyway, you take that for however you see fit. If you disagree with everything I said, that's fine. Disagreements are great. And a lot of people do disagree with me, and those are called smart people. However, when track record and history are on your side, I'm cool acting like that. So anyway, you take that for whatever you will. But, man, this has been fun. I think that to kind of wrap up the conversation here, Joey Bosa coming to the 49ers seems more likely than ever. I think that is a great thing. How that contract is structured is going to be vital to if it was a good move or not. I hope the 49ers move into this CYA, cover your rear end, with these contracts to where you are getting the benefit of the doubt. Build up the incentives. Get guys that want to bet on themselves. That is the type of guy. Stop these major overpay guarantees for guys like Hargrave. What was that? What was that? If you're getting a 30-plus-year-old player, you should build in cover your rear end. Stop leading the NFL in dead cap spending and paying these players to play for other teams. That's not a recipe for success. And I hope that's the change. I hope that is where it goes. And again, have you heard me once talk about the restructuring or whatever? I ain't playing that game. I don't care about that. But it's easy to look to the past and say, man, there were some pretty god-awful contracts coming out. Some really, really bad ones. The Ayuk deal was awful. I was so pissed when that deal happened. I wanted Ayuk to be here with the 49ers for a long term, but not at that, not the way it went down. I didn't even record a damn show when Ayuk signed because I didn't want to talk about it because I was pissed because I thought it was stupid. I really, really did. For that money, it was not a good deal for the Niners. Let's get back to making good deals, smart deals. You just don't have to. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, this has been a lot of fun. You guys are going to stay tuned for the announcement for the draft party. And if you're anywhere in the city, man, it's going to be awesome. We're pulling out all expenses. We're going to go freaking, we're swinging for the fences on this one, trying to create one of the best draft atmospheres that is possible where you can hang out with all 49ers fans in a comfortable sitting, comfortable, awesome, great production, giveaways, family friendly. Ah, I'm so excited. I'm very, very excited about this. But until next time, really appreciate you guys. If you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. We go live almost every single day. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.